Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and today it's just me and Martin. And actually, me, Martin, and then we've never had music.
No, we've never had music and now we have music. I am...
We're going to play out with music anyway. Even
I'm
if we
gobsmacked.
Don't with...
I'm gobsmacked, Tony. Gobsmacked is the only word I can use.
Well, listen, there's a little... It's 25 seconds. It's right at the end. And I am forever grateful to the two people involved. Again, look, you know, it's always flattering when you even find out people are listening to you.
Yeah,
never mind,
it is.
Take the
it
time.
Is because we kind of, well, I do. I certainly do kind of forget that people do listen to me. I barely listen to myself.
Rightly so. we could open that can of worms, but I don't want to go there right now. Why I wanted to do this pod today, and I just literally said to Martin a few minutes ago, said, are you free to hop on? Because we are sitting currently looking at a doll that's going off on its summer recess, and it has been a Omni Shambles, a Hames, all of these words, you know, clown car, all of this stuff has been happening. But I want to open with the fact that yet, sadly, tragically, and horribly, another young man was found only a few hours ago, who is believed to have been homeless, dead on the streets of Dublin. This brings now an official, I think that brings 7 people in less than 10 days. It's 9 people, I believe, in a couple of weeks. It's hard to get the actual figures because the DRHEA aren't playing ball. I've seen people who we've great time for, Brian McLaughlin in Inner City Helping Homelessness, saying that he can't get clarification on some of these issues. These stories come at me really hard, Martin, because you know, we've done a lot with ICHH and we talk to these people. I'm doing whatever fundraising we do and we do this. But then I look in the newspaper and I see Fine Gael had a parliamentary party meeting yesterday to talk about what went wrong in the election and how Catherine Noone was to blame with her gaffe about Leo and, you know, some of the silly things they said and, oh, it was the pension age and it was losing touch with the grassroots. It was about people dying in the streets. It was about homelessness. They screwed this country and they continue to screw this country where we're seeing today that houses are now costing the state €467,000 and then again another report says we can build them ourselves for €217,000. This is why people are dead on the streets. In any other time, this would be huge news. These people, their lives mattered. Before the election, a man was sleeping in a tent and he was picked up and scooped up in his life-changing injuries. And this government now have the arrogance and the hubris to give themselves pay cuts, which are pay rises. And then they have to turn around and tell us that, you know, you can travel, but you can't travel, but you can do this and reclassify people into accordance of socio-economic importance, how much they are, what the economic units, that's all that this is done. And when I see another life lost, I am absolutely, I know I'm on a rant here now, but that's why I wanted to do this, because I was really, really pissed off. I spoke to someone involved and they were telling me some of the details and these things. Every time you get these stories, you just think, I'm going to have to read some gobshite saying that he had issues that we had. You know, if I was on the streets for 2 weeks, I'd have issues, I tell you.
Tony, I get it. And I'm very angry at the moment. And you know I am very, very angry at the political situation at the moment. I really am. This is back to business. And that's what they like to call it, is back to business. And business is dead people. Business is people marginalized, people targeted, people othered. And it's gobsmackingly awful. And how do the concern that we get from government, particularly Fine Gael, is a picture of a 69-year-old arsehole with abs. And no,
people 67, and in fairness to him, he's in good shape.
I don't care. Sorry, Tony, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I think it's crass. I think it's trivial. I think it is absolutely on point for Fine Gael. Not a word about the people who have died. I mean, not a syllable. Now, they talked about normalizing homelessness. You know, this time last year, they were talking about normalizing homelessness. When you can have seven people dead in 7 days, you've normalized it. You've absolutely normalized it. And
there was this, I point to a statement from the DRHEA last week that said, when a woman who was in emergency accommodation was found dead, that unfortunately, despite all of the with all the best supports in place, you know, some of these tragedies still happen.
And look, Tony,
hang on, I need to finish that point, because you cannot tell me all this best supports were in place when someone was in emergency accommodation.
I've heard of people who are going through cancer treatment who are homeless, Tony. This is. And don't even get me started on what they've done now with the rent freeze. I mean, this is only going to get worse and worse and worse. And we didn't ask for this in the election. I don't think there's a person out there who can put their hand on their heart and say, this is what I wanted from the general election. I don't think so.
I think, again, homelessness is a national outrage. It is a shame on all of us. It was falling month on month because we had the ban on evictions and we had all these things in place. And now we're looking to roll this back. And there are people receiving their notice to quit letters automatically. You've seen them online. You've seen them published. Yeah. People I know have received notice to quit. And then, you know, so in the background, yes, this is, they've made a haze of, you know, loads of things. Like they've had to, and I'm going to move us on, but I wanted listeners to be so clear on this. This still comes back down to how we value human life. And it's very clear that if this is not a scandal or an outrage or anything, you think that they don't even need to get up and say, look, oh, we need to address this. Well, then there's something seriously wrong. Just on the PUP scandal, go on.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, Tony, let's not forget that there are people on hunger strike in this country at this present moment in time. They are on hunger strike and direct provision centre because they've been rationed food and water. Now, this again is misery for profit. And again, I'm just outraged. I'm outraged that nothing has changed. In fact, it's worse. It's worse than it was. And I'm like, really and truly, it's worse. And I had a couple of tiffs this week on Twitter over this, and the people responsible will put their hands up and go, yeah, we're classist. They have no problem in saying, yes, we're classist. Now, I go a lot further than classist. I'm not going to hear. But if you can put your hand up and accept that you're being classist on all of this, what are you doing in government? Get the hell out of it.
That's where I wanted to go with this, because the PUP scandal that we think it is actually plays very well with a certain demographic of the electorate. You know, they don't want people who are, you know, seen as less than to have nice things. They're not a big majority. They're not even a majority. But they're enough. And there's a reason why, you know, the Taoiseach 1B went on the week in politics and licked his lips and went, oh, yes, here's an opportunity to do one of my favorite things and punch down. You know, that was his brand. He's famous for his campaign of welfare cheats cheat us all. They're famous for how they had to go away and come back with this new metric to say, well, the savings are, you know, if you factor in that this person was maybe going to receive that COVID payment for the next 60 years, we'd save 50 million. You know, this nonsense of they bring this figure out and then they wash it in public to say we saved 500 million because we did this. And you're going, how does that show us the science behind that? And you look at the science, and the science is, yeah, this is on the basis that this person was receiving a benefit they shouldn't get, and they were going to get it for the rest of their lives, essentially. You know, we were extrapolating out for years, as opposed to, well, show me the actual percentage of people who are receiving this. Show me what the actual catch rate is. Show me what the error rate is. Is it your fault or is it the actual person's fault? Because quite often the fault lies with the department. And then you look
far more often than not, the error is with the department.
And you end up with savings that are, you know, go into the, it's it's not, it'll sound like a lot of money to you and me. It could be a couple, you know, you're in the millions, but you're nowhere near the half a billion that they're claiming. But it's not a lot of money for what is now 114, a team of 114 staff. Like, as I said, 114 staff, Martin, 20 Gardaí seconded. I said there was less in the Office of Corporate Enforcement that dealt with the Anglo trial. And that collapsed around our ears, which cost the country billions. We need to know that in this country, people are treated differently. White collar crime is kind of okay. You know, it's all right. It's washed because we do, you know, we saw the Apple ruling. We were so proud of ourselves because our tax laws allow this stuff.
Let me just come in there. First of all, to Roman Shortall, and Roman did the most fabulous dissection of what was going on Liveline during the week, and he articulated it perfectly. And when you think that this is a man with his wife who got on an aeroplane to go and see a terminally ill relative, and her child benefit was stopped. Now, child benefit in this country is sacrosanct. It is the one thing you cannot touch. And this was a plane going to Romania, and it appears that they are targeting planes going to Eastern Europe. Now, nobody gave them the authority to do this. They were acting outside of the law, and it's really important to remember that. That's outside of the law. So if you think it's a good thing, if you're one of these people that cheers on this kind of thing, you are cheering on people who are acting unlawfully. Unlawfully. Now, if Micheál Martin was actually Taoiseach, Heather Humphreys could be fired. But the fact is, she's not his minister. She's Leo Varadkar's minister.
I agree.
And he can't touch her.
Not only can he not touch her, the Heather Humphreys, and I don't want to single Heather Humphreys out, because I just think ultimately Heather Humphreys is doing what the department told her to do, which is just hilarious. You know, we have we live in this world now where the minister goes in and then the department tell them this is what we want you to do, and the minister does it, even though they go, what basis have we got for that? Look, we saw it. They went out the day after Leo Varadkar said one thing, and they went and changed it on the bloody website just to make the Taoiseach 1B not look like he was saying anything wrong. The department, I think, actually, you know what, I'll just do one thing. Go check out Simon McGarr's gist from last night that he wrote, because he just uses the phrase, the department is insane. Because just because you think something is, you need to have a basis for it, you have no legal footing for what you're doing. It's insane.
Look at what it
did to the previous minister in the Department of Social Protection. She went out and stood up front and went to bat for the illegal public services card. And no one from the department came to her rescue, and it didn't help her electorally at all. You know, to put all that aside, you cannot tell me that the whole thing didn't reek of profiling, of racial profiling.
And
class warfare. Absolute class warfare.
Completely. And I know I've upset people this week by pointing out that what racial profiling and class warfare leads to. And I know I've upset people, but I want them to wake up, Tony. Wake up and realize what you are in the middle of. This is only 28 days of government. 28 days of government. And already they're acting outside the law. They're targeting minorities. They are punching down for all they're worth. And I don't care how many cycle lanes you open. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
I do share the fears, and because there is a creeping. It's not just here, by the way. I want to point out to listeners, you know, we talk about Hungary and we talk about Poland and what's happening in these places, and we then mention that, you know, they're struggling with, you know, human rights being curtailed and civil liberties being curtailed, and, you know, the threats to LGBT communities and the likes of that. And we're not saying that this is the equivalent here, but what I am saying is that, for example, when Hungary went outside of their remit, the EPP came in and they decided that, you know, we'd send them a letter that would rebuke them. Irish ministers said, yes, absolutely, we're all for this, let's do this, and then never signed the bloody letter.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I cannot be two-faced about it. You cannot allow people away with saying one thing and then voting another way, for example. So, no, you know, like I saw Patrick Costello coming in for a lot of flack because he went on the on Drive Time and he spoke about how it was wrong what was happening with the PUP, and then that very evening voting against the amendment or the bill that was tabled. And Patrick, you have to know, it doesn't matter. I get you're well-intentioned. I get you know what you're doing. I get you're a competent person. But at some stage, you have to say, I'm not going to follow through with this. I'll walk away. And the government doesn't need you, by the way. They have a majority. They're a mega majority. There are racists and crooks that are sitting in their midst who are only happy to vote with them for whatever backdoor deals were done, you know, in this way to get the government formed. The Greens, you know, they've made their bed. Like you said to me previously that, you know, they've crossed the Rubicon. They crossed Rubicon when they voted for the program for government. Okay, that was that. I want to come back and say let's talk about what's happening on the opposition benches. And we saw it today whereby people are agitating, you know, PVP. I saw Paul Murphy saying that Sinn Féin has allied itself with Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens to change the speaking arrangements that will limit the access for smaller parties. I saw other Sinn Féin pushing back saying, well, in actual speaking time, you will have more time than you know, for per head of per TD than we have with our 35. Again, big problem is, if you want to be the alternative government, you have to be the alternative government.
Yeah,
and
you do.
You actually do. What, you know, I know it's a cliche, but they say dress for the job you want. You know that nonsense? You know, dress for the job you want? That's just bullshit, lads. Cop yourselves on. If you want to have this alternative government, you cannot have simple things like that where you're actually siding with the people. And like, here's a good sign and a good in my eyes anyway. I'm only speaking for. But if I find myself and I tweet something, Martin, on it, for example, and I find certain people who maybe, let's say, young Fine Gael people or something are sharing it, going, look at this. This is great. He's made a great point. I kind of feel, oof, better delete that. I'm on the wrong side or something. And I would say that's a good rule of thumb, that if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are delighted with this amendment, you might be on the wrong side of it.
Yeah. You might just be on the wrong side of it. I kind of agree with you there, Tony. And you're right about the opposition. It needs to present itself as a viable alternative to what's sitting in there. And honest to God, a group of fucking monkeys sitting in the zoo is a viable alternative to what's sitting in there at the moment. I'm not having mercy for people anymore, Tony. I warned people 2 weeks ago that my respect was gone, and it is gone. And I will not be giving people respect for sitting down and watching all of this going on. I will not. I wouldn't do it. I have integrity. I won't do it because I know the people. And it's much, much more difficult to stand up and say you're wrong when it's somebody you know. It's far more difficult to do it. We talk about this before.
We don't talk. We kill each other.
Yeah, we do. We talk about pulling punches because you know people. I will not pull punches. I will not pull punches. And I won't do it. And I won't do it for the opposition either. If you can't get your freaking act together, you're enabling them in there. That's what you're doing.
And I just...
You're enabling them.
And that is very disappointing. As you said, it wouldn't... I mean, you look at the polls in the US and people say, how is Joe Biden so far ahead? It's because he stayed away. He's actually not gone out and spoken to anyone because, you know, the more he talks, the more he goes, which actually reminds me of something. And it'll be the last thing I'll say on the performance of this government before this summer recess. There's a Steve Bannon tactic called flooding the zone with shit, right? Yeah. And Trump is famously good for it. You know, like think about, for example, you know, Trump tweeting about the 71 year old white Jewish man was pushed by a police officer, cracked his head, and Trump said he was an Antifa rioter. You know, that would have been enough to have Obama thrown out of office or it would have caused consternation. But he was on to the next thing 24 hours later because he does something else fucking inept or something else crazy. And we kind of had that administration now. We barely have time to focus on how shitty they're doing on one thing. Well, like, I mean, you mentioned direct, we have people on hunger strike in Ireland today. Okay. They're for a system that the minister who wants to take it over, who says they're committed to ending it in the term of this government, still hasn't got control of it. He's, you know, the Department of Justice are still in charge and it's still for profit. I don't want any white papers now. I want it wrapped up and I want it ended. They are literally flooding the zone, Martin, with shit. I mean, we should not have to look in 2020 at people going on hunger strike. We should not have people dying in our streets. And these things should actually be headline news. But because this clown car that's going down the road is you know, spinning out of control. And, you know, I just, final thing for me. And I mean, this is someone who believes this government will last four years at least. I've said this before.
Yeah.
If the schools don't open the end of August and early September, this government will fall.
Look, you've mentioned Trump, and that's kind of the problem we have at the moment. This government is Trumpian. By the time you get your head wrapped around one devious lie, they've told 10 more. And you're constantly playing catch up with the lies. And, you know, we should now have a lie counter. And we should be using this and we should be saying, well, the Taoiseach lied X amount of times. The Minister for Social Welfare lied X amount of times. Everything fucking Varadkar says is a lie. Everything. Everything he says is a lie. It's a spin of some sort. So, you know, I don't even forget him. But, you know, then again, you look at the press and you see, you know, abs on Richard Burton and you're thinking to yourself, seriously, guys, seriously. It was put there to distract you and hook, line and sinker distracted.
I think it's okay to spend a few hours having a bit of crack on Twitter about a 67-year-old man who was standing with his top out. There's no problem. I'd go back on that. Like I saw it this week, you know, Leo Varadkar make a point and Gav Riley tear it apart on social media. I saw someone from Sinn Féin make a point and Gavin Riley contradicted that with the actual, you know, this is when it happened. This is the actual thing, you know. You know, there are fantastic.
Top drawer, Tony. He's top drawer. And there are a good few, and we know them and we've spoken to them. They are top drawer.
There are huge questions for the media because, unfortunately, you know, we've seen again where some of the journalists have gone across to become special advisors and they've gone, and you know, it's a well-worn path at this stage. But is that a problem with being too close to your sources, or is that a problem with the longevity of a career in media? It's probably a bit of both, you know. But
I think the public has to take a good bit of the responsibility here, Tony. You know, if you're going to be distracted by balloons and sirens, you know, what are you in this for? You know, do you actually care? Do you actually give a damn that seven people have died, that there's a hunger strike? Like, I guarantee you walk around the streets of Dublin, you ask people, where is there a hunger strike? And they won't have a clue, Tony. Not a clue. Not a clue.
And I'm not disagreeing with you on that point at all. I do think... you know, there's a lot going on in people's lives. They're busy. They're trying to just survive a lot of the times. But what we need to see is, you know, it's very hard for me to sit here and tell you that I don't think the media is always doing a great job. But that's not fair. That's no one loses a fight saying, well, it's all the media's fault.
I'm not leveling this at the media. I'm saying we as a people want to get our act together. We are better than this. There's no doubt about it. And we showed You know, in the worst of times when lockdown had to happen, we all had to work together. We have showed how much better we are. And how did we slide back down to this in such a short space of time? You and I talked about back to better, about when we come out of lockdown, we need to go back to better, not back to worse. And we are back to worse. And I, there's where I hold political parties completely responsible, utterly responsible. If you're going to enable this shit, be prepared for the flack that's going to come at you, and don't run away and cry. Stand up, explain yourself. Don't turn around to me and go, oh, we're not fascist, we're classist. Just as bad. Just as bad. Just as bad. I've no time for you. No sympathy for you. Stop what you're doing. Stop it.
I think like, I'm not gonna. I didn't agree with your comment, but you know.
Oh, I know, yeah. and you, me and you, are like this. Tony will tear the head off me for saying something, and we'll to and fro it. And you know, this is one of those where we just have to agree to differ.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, this is a slippery slope, and in 28 days, they have absolutely launched themselves down this slippery slope. And I'm thinking about when it comes to austerity, which is promised in the second part of the program for government, I don't see that they're going to have any difficulty whatsoever hammering the same people over and over.
Martin, it's already like the austerity narrative has already started. They just don't call it austerity anymore. That's the only difference.
So, you know, there are a lot of good people out there, and there are a lot of good people that we know of. And just stand up and be counted at this stage. Stand up and be counted. Please don't let this continue. We can't do a homeless person dead every day. We can't do hunger strikes. We can't do people being thrown out of their houses, rents increasing right now. We can't do it. We just can't.
Well, on that happy note, I'm going to leave it there, but do stay tuned. There is an audio treat coming up for you all.
Oh, it's brilliant. And I said thank you last night, and I sincerely, I am honored and humbled, Tony, and those are the words I used. Honored and humbled, and thank you so much.
Talk to you all soon, folks. Bye-bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.